here that I want to read to you here this evening, and one of them is in Mark chapter 5 and verse 6, and the other one is in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." Now that was that maniac of the country of the Gadarenes. He was the fella that lived among the tombs. He lived in the graveyard, and no man could bind him. They put him in chains. And it says that because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And over here in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, it says, this has to do with this fellow that we refer to many times as the prodigal son. You know that story. And it says here right in the middle of the story, in verse 20, it says, "And he arose," that is the prodigal son. He had left his father and went down in this far country and wasted his money. But there come a time when I believe the Spirit of God enlightened that fella. And he says he arose. He resolved. He had determination. He arose and he came to his father. And all of his rags, and all of his ruin, all of his disgrace, he came like he was. He didn't come all dressed up, but he came like he was. And he said he arose and he came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, these two verses that I read to you have a similarity, a measure of likeness. The man in Mark chapter 5 and verse 6, the man runs to Jesus from afar. And in Luke 15 and 20, it says that the father runs to the prodigal son from afar. Now, you and I know this much. They both run. The prodigal runs and the father runs. And when two run to meet each other, they soon meet. When one is coming from this direction and one's coming from this direction, they soon meet. Now, when a sinner is running to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father is running to the sinner, there's going to be a happy meeting when they come together. There's going to be a time of rejoicing. Over in one of the previous verses, in chapter 14, I believe, of the book of Luke, it talks about the shepherd that had 100 sheep, 99 was in the fold, and one had strayed. And the shepherd went after the sheep, and after great distress, trials and troubles and toils, he found the sheep. run astray, the sheep that was lost, and he put it on his shoulders and brought it back, and he told them when he got back, he said, "Rejoice with me, I found my sheep." A time of rejoicing. When one's running, the sinner's running, and the Lord's running, and they meet, there's a happy time. There's rejoicing. The Bible says that they rejoice in heaven over one sinner that repents. They not only rejoice in heaven, but they rejoice on earth when one sinner repents. So the result is, when the two come together, there's a happy meeting. The result is that there's joy in heaven and joy on earth also. In the case of the man running to Christ, in Mark chapter 5, verse 6, we read, it says, "When he seen Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him." Now, the first thing I want to call to your notice or to your attention is a type of the sinner's place. He is far off from Jesus Christ as to his character. Every sinner outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is typified in the character of this man who was running to the Lord. He was afar off. Every sinner is far off from the Lord Jesus. He's far off. Some say, well, the drunkard, he's far off from Christ. The harlot's far off from Christ. The thief is far off from Christ. And I'm sure that's true. But everybody, the righteous, self-righteous man, the hypocrite, the indifferent, all men outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is far off from Jesus Christ as to character. They're so far off, as I've oftentimes said, they're so far off from God they'll never come back unless the good shepherd goes out where they are and gets them. They won't come back. They're that far off from God. Every man outside of the Lord Jesus is far off from God. He's lost. That's what the Bible says. He's lost. He's far off. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Sinners are lost. Where are they? They're way off. No desire to come home. You holler and tell them, say, "Come home, come home." They don't hear you. They haven't got ears to hear or eyes to see. They're so far off. There's no need for me to try to describe even our past lives. There's no need for me to tell you how far off from God I was and name all of my sins. No need to tell you that. You know about it. You know about it because what's true with me is true with you. Isn't that right? Don't need to describe it. You know you never loved God and you hated God and you wasn't looking for God. You was running from God. You didn't find God. He found you. Isn't that right? He is lost. God's not lost. The sinner's lost. He's far off from God. So, no need for me to describe a portion of our unsavory, ungodly character because you know it. It's ever before you. It's always before the man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It seems to be so real to him that it's almost like it's painted on his eyeballs. Everything you see your sin. You see it through a mist and haze of your own guilt and your own rebellion. You're a sinner and you know you're a sinner. You're far off from God. You're an absolute failure as far as spiritual things are concerned. An absolute failure. We need to rehearse that over and over and over. We need to get that in our hearts and in our minds that we're failures. everybody. Every man, woman, or child who's a member of Adam's fallen race is a failure before God, an absolute failure, a dead failure. The only person in this world that had a successful life was the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody else is failures. I don't care how good we've been and all that, we're still failures. I got something in the mail here just recently. I forget what it was now. Some brochure advertising some man's expertise in a church growth. He wanted me to send in $100. He wanted me to send $100, and he'd send me a ticket to his seminar. I believe it was in Huntington or Charleston. And he said, all the preachers all over the country's coming. He said, I'm an expert in church growth, and I can tell you how to get your church to grow. And I can tell you how to get people to give money and all that. Now, what he was saying was, he said, if you want to be successful, send me in your $100 and go to seminar. I see advertisements on the television every day about people advertising to learn how to operate a computer. You tired of your old job? You tired of making $2 an hour? Well, you can make $35 an hour. Come to our computer school. Learn to be a beautician. Be your own boss. Do you ever see that on the television? Always advertising something in order that you might be successful. But brethren, there's no such thing as being successful. None whatsoever. If you'd go to every tombstone in the world, in every house in the world, and if you wanted to find one word to describe everybody, those that are here and those that are gone, the one word would be failure. Failure's written upon everybody's forehead. Ain't nobody ever got it made. We think we got it made, but we'd never have had it made. We're lost, like this fellow was. He had lost before God for the want and lack of love to Jesus Christ. He failed in his life. Every one of us has failed. Someone said, well, I don't think I failed. Like, I never had much background. I come up the hard way, and my wife and I worked pretty hard, and we've got $50,000 in the bank. And I feel like I've success in that sense. I've made some money, and retired, and I'm in pretty good shape. Huh? Well, you're still a failure. Still a failure. Every man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, a failure. Only a man who's in Christ can say that he has a measure of success. And his success, he has to attribute to God, not to himself. Huh? I know that there's a lot of folks, you know, they try to work out their salvation. But I often think about, you know, a fella working out his own salvation, and he denies himself this and denies himself that and picks up this and picks up that. And at the end, he's a failure. He'll find discouragement. He can't do it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is successful. He's the only one who could come down to the end of his life and say, the work that thou hast given me to do, I've finished it. I've finished the work that you've given me to do. We can't say that. We're all failures. But he's not. And that's the reason why I'd encourage, if you're here tonight, I'd encourage you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's successful. If you want to be successful, you'll find him, and he'll find you. And your success that you have then, you'll delight in attributed to him. You'll say, I'm successful. successful because of Him, because He made me successful. He found me in my lost state. Huh? Oh, listen. This is a terrible, terrible thing, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ, He's perfect. In that respect, and what are you? Full of sin? He's just. What are you? You unjust? Huh? Our Lord and our God, here in this passage that I read to you, He crossed the sea. Let me read that. It says in chapter 5, verse 1, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes," the Lord and His disciples. They came over. They went over to the other side in small boats into the country of the Gadarenes. It says in the next verse, "And when He was come out of the ship," when they got to the other side and the Lord Jesus Christ came out of the ship, "immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." And it describes him here, his insanity, and how bad off he was. But the sixth verse says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped Him." Now, when our Lord crossed the sea into the land of the Gadarenes, He endured the awfulness of that storm all night in order that He might heal one man. He went through all of that to get to this one man who is crazy. He is a maniac. He cut himself. He run around through that graveyard crying and cutting himself with stones. He was an awful looking thing. They'd every once in a while they'd get him down and they'd bind him with chains. But the chains wouldn't hold him. He'd break loose and run all over the country. I was staying in a motel here a week or so ago up there in New Jersey. And I looked out that motel room. There's a vacant lot there beside an Exxon station on the right-hand side. And I seen this fellow standing out there in the field by himself. And I thought, what in the world? Right here in the middle of all this, about 4 or 5 million people in that metropolitan area of Philadelphia. I said, what's that fellow doing? And he was standing there, and every once in a while I'd see him walk clean up to the end of the lot, pick something up, and he'd walk back. He'd stand and look. He had something behind him. And I watched him till I could see what was behind him. And he looked like he was about 70 years old. And he had a baseball glove. And he'd get that glove, he'd stand up there and act like he's pitching. And there's some boys on the other side of the street and they're laughing at him. He'd run down there at the sidewalk like he's going to jump right out in front of the traffic. And there's 4 lanes of traffic there. 8 lanes. 4 on each side. He'd stand there on the edge, teeter on the edge, and talk to them, and then run back. It's crazy. It's crazy. I pitied the poor fella. He didn't know where I was at. That's the way this guy was. Our Lord endured the roughness of that sea, the uncomfortable boat that he was in. He endured all of it. To cross that probably took him all night. And when he got over there, he just got off of the boat. And here come this fella out of the graveyard, waving his hands and carrying on. And when he seen Jesus afar off, he ran to Jesus. When he seen Jesus, he ran to Jesus and he worshiped Him. He's running to Jesus. He didn't seem very good, but he seen Him. That's the point. He seen Him. And the result is that he worshipped. I'm not talking about faith. I wouldn't want to get into it with some of these fellas, Larry Simpson and some more of them, about how much faith that a man's got to have or how much knowledge a man's got to have to be saved. I'm not going to get into that. But I believe that a man's got some sort of faith that worships the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? He's got some sort of faith. He ran and worshiped Him. Yeah. Far off from Christ, that guy was. Well, our Lord went over there and healed him. And then, as soon as He got over there and healed that man, you know what He did? He went down, got in the boat, and He went back to the other side. What's that say? It says that when He went back, He was well content that He had wrought one miracle. That fellow's name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That fellow's name was in the Eternal Blood Covenant. And he was one of the sheep that must be brought into the fold. And our Lord Jesus Christ crossed that lake that night. Underwent all them difficulties. And go over and tamed that fella. And it says, when it was over with, it says that he was in his right mind. Where's that at in that chapter? I don't see it now. But anyhow, maybe in another narrative there. Anyhow, it says that he was fully clothed. In his right mind. Verse 15, Pat said. And they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Our Lord was satisfied, well content. This man, he ran to Jesus, and he saw Jesus afar off, and he worshipped him. And our Lord got back in the boat. Went to the other side. Well, I said he's far off from Christ. Every sinner's far off from Christ as to the knowledge of Him. Who knows all there is to know or all there is revealed about the Lord Jesus Christ? Who does? What man is it is ready to stand up and say, I know all there are to know about Him? I don't think even after a man's saved, He knows that much. I don't think He knows anything, really, in light of the fullness and the completeness and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's God manifest in the flesh. Can a man understand that? How God can become a man? I can't understand that. That God can become a man, and God can die, and God can shed His blood, and at the same time, God's a spirit, and God can die. I don't understand all that. I believe it because it's throughout the Bible. But the sinner is far off from Christ as to knowledge of Him. He's heard His name and he's had some dim notions about Him. But as of yet, he's only seen Him afar off. He saw Him afar off. He saw Him at a distance. He had heard, I guess, in this maze of insanity and darkness that he lived in, he had heard that the Son of God had crossed over and was in this land of the Gadarenes. He'd heard about it. He'd heard that God somehow had come down from heaven to live among the sons of men. He'd heard about that somehow. I don't know how. He'd heard that he'd done great things. Men, and he'd heard that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had come into his country, into his district, where this poor fellow lived, in this horrible country that was full of graveyards and full of pollution. This man, Christ Jesus, who's mighty to save, has come down here to save poor sinners like you and I. He had a dim notion. He was far off from God and just had a dim notion of the purpose and the objective of the coming of the Lord. He just a dim, fragmentary understanding of it. But what he heard and what he seen, he believed it. And he seen the Lord Jesus Christ afar off, and he run as fast as he could to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. And he fell down and he worshipped him. ran and worshipped him. Like I say now, don't misunderstand me. I don't know that he did this intelligently or in the right manner or the right way. I don't know that. Some of these other fellows that I talked to, they got it all figured out. They know how much a man's got to know. They know the manner and the methods and the whens and the wheres and the whyfores. I don't know all that. I don't know how intelligent this man was in his understanding, but I know he ran to Jesus and he fell down and worshipped him. And that's good enough for me. Huh? He got near enough to him that he got a fuller view of who he was. And what glimpse he had of him and understanding have satisfied him because he worshipped him. Huh? Well, look over here in this other verse that I called your attention to in the book of Luke, chapter 20. Chapter 20, I believe. Chapter 15, isn't it, Pat? In verse 20? Okay. Chapter 15, verse 20. It said, and he arose. And he kept, you know the story. No need for me to go over that again. He arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, this other fellow was, he was far off. And he ran. He ran. It says here that this man was a great way off. He was afar off, and his father saw him and had compassion, and his father ran. The father is representative of God the Father, certainly. He represents God the Father and his love and his compassion, his tenderness, his determination, how he rejoiced when the boy came and how anxious he was for the boy to come home. I'll tell you, when it says that God ran, that means that he was quick. He was quick. There was no slowing down. He wasn't looking out for obstacles, sidestepping this and he jumped over everything that was in his way. The son was running in one direction, and the father was running in this direction, and they're both going to meet. And when they meet, salvation is that right? The father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. God fell on his neck, just grabbed him, grabbed that poor old boy. He didn't say, "You, I told you." Huh? He didn't say, "I told you so." He didn't say, "You spent all that money." That wasn't his attitude. This is our God and our Father. When he saved you, he didn't tell you all about your sins, did he? All he told you was to come. He said, "Come just like you are in all your filthy sins. Just come to me." He said, "I ain't angry with you. I'm not mad at you. Come on." And that's what happened here, Bob. Come on. That old boy, he made up his mind what he was going to say. There in verse 17, he said, "And when he come to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger. He said, I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee." But he never did say it. You know why? Because the father smothered his lips with the father's kisses and just smothered that confession out. Coming is enough for me. Huh? Fell on him, kissed him. And they rejoiced. Our father said to his servants, he said, "Bring forth the best robe," and he said, "and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And he said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat, drink, and be merry." Let's have a celebration. Let's have a party. Why? My son was dead. My God, he's alive. He's lost. He's a fool, but he's found. Huh? That's the way God is. That's the way God is. He's not mad at anybody. He wants a man to come. Said, let's have a party. He said, my son was dead and alive again. He's lost and found. What's he say? And they began to make merry. Oh, what a good time they had. Last verse says, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. This is the father having conversation with the older brother. He said, it's right that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and alive again and was lost and now he's found. Isn't that something? Well, listen. The object of the story is this, or the, at least the thing that I'm trying to pound and pursue is this. That when a man's running to Christ, he'll find out that the Father's running to him. Even your running to Christ is of God. When a man comes to the Lord Jesus, God puts that coming in him. He won't come unless he's aided by God. But when he comes, it's because God's doing something in him. And he comes running, seeking the Lord Jesus. And while he's running, the Father's running. And they're going to meet. They're going to meet. It's going to be a happy time. Sins are gone. Washed in the blood. Accepted in the Beloved. Guaranteed by the blood of Christ a home in glory. Well, there'll be no sickness, sadness, pain, disappointments, and all that. That's where it's all at. That's where I'm headed. And I ain't gonna stick around here. Well, I'm glad there's an end to it. I wouldn't want to live forever, would you? Gonna live to be 100 years old, 110, 105, 95, you can't see, you can't hear. Ain't got sense enough to blow your nose or go to the bathroom. I don't want all that. Get on out of here. Be with my Father in heaven. You got everything there. Everything. Won't need nothing there. Won't have a heartache. Won't have a tear. Won't have nothing to. No anxieties, no worries, no frets, no fears, nothing. God. To me, like that'd be good, Daryl. Come and go with me. That's what Moses said. Come and go with us. We'll do you good. You come and go with us. We'll do you good. Well, the Lord bless these few remarks. Let's stand.